Bless Pastor Steve as he brings this message to us this morning and help us to apply it. And it's in Jesus' name we do pray this morning. Amen. Amen.
We're a couple weeks into a shorter series that is kind of leading us up to Palm Sunday and Easter. And we've been looking at a few different things. We're going to be looking at a bunch of different psalms today. One in particular, I put a lot of the references on the back of your bulletin, so don't feel like you have to remember all the verses and stuff. You can read them in more detail later on. But how I want to draw, what I want to draw to our attention this morning is we're in that interesting time of March, and March is a season where there's a very interesting cultural phenomenon in the United States called March Madness. And I remember many years ago when I was at work and they had what's called the boss button. And you could have a game on your computer, and then when your boss came, you could hit this button and it just popped up a spreadsheet. So it looked like you were working, because these games go on all day, from early in the morning until late at night. If you are a basketball fan, this is like your, I don't know what this is, but it is a wonderful mountaintop experience for you. And you see all those college players, they're dreaming of being champions. And yet we know that whether it's the men's tournament or the women's tournament, only one will be crowned champion. And even if you don't watch basketball regularly, if you tune in for even just a couple of moments, the enthusiasm of the players, the bands, the crowds is infectious. There's nothing quite like if you've ever physically been at a college game and you see all those college students going absolutely nuts. It's a very interesting experience. Just this past couple days ago, there were two upsets. There was a team that hardly anybody knew about named High Point, and this was their high point. They took down a big team. Nobody expected them to do it, and this was their reaction in that moment of victory. Would you expect anything less? No, you would expect them to be going absolutely nuts. On the women's side, there was also an upset that was unexpected. Virginia takes down, I believe it was Georgia. And those ladies had a similar reaction. I don't know how tall their center is, but she is a pretty cool and amazing player. If you go online, you can see the highlights of those games. If you were at those types of games, you can imagine the energy is super high, the nerves are higher, it's a nail biter to the end. And if your team wins, imagine you were one of these underdog teams, how would you respond in that moment, whether you were a player or a fan? Would you give the nice golf clap? I sure hope not. If you do, you need to go back to fan school to figure things out. No, you stand and you cheer and you throw up your hands, you clap loudly, you cheer. And if one of those players is maybe a family member or a friend, you might even throw a little extra whoop whoop on top of it all. Who doesn't love a good celebration? I think that as human beings, we are hardwired for celebration. If you are looking for something to celebrate today, by the way, there's four things that you could celebrate. You could celebrate that today is National Healthcare Rights Day, so you could celebrate that. Or if you're more into Bavarian crepes, it's National Bavarian Crepe Day. If you like West Virginia, the mountain state, it's National West Virginia Day. Or for those of you that are particularly inclined, it's also National Goof Off Day. A little something for everybody. And why do we celebrate? I think that it is somehow embedded deep in our DNA. And in case you are wondering, yes, there's a day to celebrate that too, April 25th, National DNA Celebration Day. Yeah. Would I make these things up? I might embellish, but I'm not going to make it up. I did not create that out of AI, for sure. There's always something to celebrate. We are people of celebration. We celebrate memorable times in our life. We celebrate significant accomplishments. We celebrate those high points of life, just like those players from High Point. But we also even celebrate at lower points as well. We don't always realize that. When someone close to you dies, maybe a loved one, sometimes you go to a celebration of life. And as Christians, or for Christian gatherings and events, celebration is a hallmark of those significant times of life. Births, baptisms, deaths, the season of Advent and Christmas, Lent and Easter, Pentecost, and many more. When you stop to think about it, there is always some kind of celebration. And some of those celebrations make sense to the world, and some do not. The fact that we would celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus makes sense to some and doesn't make sense to others. Right now, we acknowledge in this season, as we get close to Palm Sunday and Easter, we acknowledge how amazing it is that God loved us so much that he would send his only son to earth to live and die and be resurrected, all so that we might have the hope of resurrection life with God forever. Whenever I think about that, I can't help but say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In these weeks before Easter, we've been looking at some of the different words that describe worship for the Hebrew people in the Old Testament. Different words for worship. We said at the very beginning that most of what we understand worship is called praise when we read it in the Bible. But under that word praise, there are different words that our spiritual brethren used. And as we look at some of these words, we want to tap into the wide range of worship so that we can honor and glorify God in a richer, deeper way in all of our lives, because that's how God created us to be, to glorify and be with him forever. Week one, we looked at praise, the word halal, which is that exuberant, joyful, kind of almost foolish-seeming kind of praise where you don't care what other people think because it's an offering between you and the Lord. What was the story we looked at? We looked at the story of David making a fool of himself before the Lord. And some people didn't like it, but he didn't care. Last week, we looked at the word toda, that praise and adoration to God with arms extended, those arms of both thanksgiving and confession, thanks to the two guys in the back for illustrating Moses raising his arms and having to hold up his arms from Exodus 17. You didn't even know that we got a picture of it, but we did. How long were you able to hold your hands up? You won. Okay, good. Well, for March Madness, that's what counts. So thank you, Andre, for that. And we looked at those two sides to help keep us balanced, both thanksgiving and confession. And when we're in balance, God acts to restore, heal, and strengthen our soul health. A sacrifice of praise, in other words. So there's this amazing range that we can offer to God as praise. Times for joy and times for sorrow. Times to dance and times to kneel. I will actually do it. I want to actually, okay, that's a mark. There's all these different times, as Ecclesiastes 3 says, a time for everything. A time to get loud and a time for quiet reflection. This morning, I want to turn to an unlikely psalm that was written as a prayer and praise to God during a time of profound and intense uncertainty and trouble for God's people. If you have a Bible, you can open up to Psalm 44, or you can follow along on our screen. or if you've got the Bible app on your phone, you can do that. And I want to read the first 8 verses of this psalm for us. I'll be reading from the NIV this morning. The word says, "We have heard it with our ears, O God. Our ancestors have told us what you did in their days, in days long ago. With your hand, you drove out the nations and planted our ancestors. You crushed the peoples and made our ancestors flourish." So they're remembering the past. "It was not by their sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you loved them." Verse 4, "You are my king and my God who decrees victories for Jacob. Through you we push back our enemies. Through your name we trample our foes. I put no trust in the bow. My sword does not bring me victory." This might be a lesson for today as well. "But you give us victory over our enemies. You put our adversaries to shame." And here's the payoff verse. "In God we make our boast all day long, and we will" what? "Praise your name forever." Even in those lowest of moments. Verse 8 has the Hebrew word that we're looking at today, and it's that word for praise called yada. Those of you that remember Seinfeld from 30 years ago, one of the favorite words, yada, yada, yada. Not quite, but it's a similar word. And I put a basic definition on the back of your bulletin so you don't have to write it down. Yad refers to hand, and so it, in essence it means to throw out or throw up your hands, giving thanks or praise to God. It's a physical act or signal of what you are offering to the Lord. You're using your body in a particular way to offer praise, to worship God. Now, some of you, perhaps, I'll acknowledge this, you have not grown up in this particular style of using your body very much. We said a couple weeks ago when we were talking about dancing, you know, maybe it's just as simple as this, you know, the little sway. I've seen that at a bunch of churches. You know, if that's your level of dancing, good for you. Good job. Maybe you could go a little bit further. If you have not grown up in a tradition or experience what it's like to raise arms, raise your hands in worship, I encourage you to give it a shot. Just like before, this is between you and God. You don't need to worry about what anyone else thinks in the moment. I know that that's a stretch. Maybe your yada is more like T-Rex yada. If that's you, great. Because believe it or not, you're actually not that far from the intent of the word, which carries this kind of look, arms like this. Yada shows up a lot in the Bible, mostly in the Psalms, and I listed a couple examples on the back of your bulletin, like Psalm 7, which says, "I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness, and sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High." Or Psalm 9, which says, "I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders." You see how understanding that what's underpinning that word praise, when we understand that this is like a very physical type of action here, it helps us expand our worship toolbox. Or Psalm 28:7, which says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy and I will give thanks to him in song." Some of you just did that a few minutes ago. This word shows up in so many other types of contexts. It shows up in the story of Genesis 29, the story of Jacob when he goes to find a bride, and he sees a young woman, and he falls in love with her, and her name is Rachel. And so he talks to her dad and agrees to work for him for 7 years in exchange to marry his daughter. And Jacob does that. And then at the end of those 7 years, the father Laban deceives him and actually says, no, I'm going to give you the older daughter Leah, the one that Jacob did not love. And then he works another 7 years later on to also be able to marry Rachel. For Leah, though, such an interesting story. It says that the Lord sees that Leah is unloved, and he actually has compassion on her, and he enables her to conceive a child, because up to that point, she was unable. And not just one, but she conceives three sons, and each time she hopes or thinks, maybe this is the time when my husband will actually love me. Alas, it is not to be. It's really sad in this moment. And yet the Lord has compassion on Leah as well. The fourth time, she gives birth to a son, and this is when she says, this time I will yada the Lord. And then she named her son Judah. And those of you that know some of your Bible history, you know all that comes from the line of Judah. And then it says she conceived no more children. This time I will praise the Lord. And as you look all throughout the Bible, you see this aspect of worship of raised hands from God's people. Because using our physical bodies helps us to show what's inside of us. It's like enacting outside what's deep in our heart. It's embodying the truth that God is growing within us, the truth that we feel. We're using our bodies to praise the Lord. Like I've said before, even if it's not your norm to do so, even if it's maybe a bridge too far for at this particular moment or feel strange, perhaps a good question that we can ask ourselves is, what would it look like to use my physical body to worship the Lord with all of my heart and soul and spirit and mind and body? And I imagine if you are to answer this question, I put it on the back of the bulletin, it might look a little bit different for all of you. What would it look like for you to give your all to God in worship? I want to give a shout out this morning. I want to shout out Pastor Mike. He'll never see this, I'm sure. Pastor Mike, 25 years ago, Triumph Church, Vicksburg, Mississippi. He had just started the year before. We were living there. We decided to randomly attend this church, and at that church, that was my first experience of experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit. And in this particular church, they showed me, they taught Rebecca and I what it looked like to praise the Lord with all of our bodies. These are actual photos from this church. I am indebted to that church, and if I ever get back to Vicksburg, Mississippi, and I hope so, maybe this summer, I want to thank this church. This is the church that helped God get a hold back of my heart and learn what can happen when you just take a risk and raise your hands and worship. I was not a pastor at the time. We were volunteering. We had no money. It was a lot of rice and beans that year. But yet somehow God directed me, and now I'm here today. I'm giving Pastor Mike a shout out. That is not, for those of you that have been here for a while, that's not Peter, our former worship guy. That's Mike. Just so I want to make that clear. That's why I love the diversity of God's church in the world. So many different churches, different styles and forms and traditions of praise for different seasons and times. And if you've never had an opportunity to worship in a different context, I encourage you to do so. I just hope you come back as well. hands are often mentioned throughout the Bible. There's so many other ways that we see hands. Psalm 63, which David wrote, he says, "Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will what? Lift up my hands." David knew what it was like to lift up his hands and trust God. Psalm 28, "Hear my cry for mercy as I call to you for help, as I lift up my hands toward your most holy place." Psalm 141, "May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice." In the context of worship, what a picture that God's word points us towards and paints for us. Imagine that fragrant offering rising up to God. Instead of the smoke of bombs and burning oil, imagine that our sacrifice of prayer and praise to the Lord rises like a million fragrant offerings. And when God looks out and surveys his earth, he sees his faithful people praying hard, praising him with all that they are worth, and it draws his attention to see his world and respond. I kind of had this image of like looking out over, this is kind of a little tricky in California because we don't have a good relationship with fire, but I had this image of like little individual campfires when you're looking out over a forest and you see these little plumes of smoke, like prayers going up to heaven, fragrant offerings to the Lord. Imagine if every one of God's people were doing that every single day. Would things change? Can things change? Is God's peace, his shalom, possible? You better believe so. Even 1 Timothy 2 encourages all of us to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. When you lift up your hands like this, you do so in humility and complete dependence on God. You show, no, I don't have empty hands. I'm actually offering myself to you, O Lord. This is not just for the courageous or the charismatic. This is a biblically rooted way for us to respond in worship. For followers of Christ, we are a people called out of what we formerly were and called into something new through Jesus Christ. I remember what I was like before an experience at that church 25 years ago. I was good in some ways, and I was far from God in other ways. And but for some faithful people in my life, including my wife and others, including people earlier in my life, I know I would not be here today. Praise be to God. That's why I said that earlier that celebration has always been a mark of God's people. The early church understood this really, really well. They faced constant persecution. They understood that they celebrate both in life and death because their hope was in Jesus Christ, who defeated death. It's no wonder that early Christians actually connected the raising of their hands to the cross of Christ. When they did this and they saw this, they connected to the cross. They saw the very posture of Christ on the cross, and it made an impact on them. In fact, one of the earliest Christian symbols that they've discovered in various archaeological things is this very image. People doing this. And they found this on stone burial plots and some of the underground catacombs. This was an image that even in death, someone was celebrating because they were now with their Lord. One's soul is now at peace, and they were able to experience joy fully in paradise with God, a sign of both peace and rest, and pointing to the hope of resurrection. And for those who remained, and maybe you've experienced this at funerals or celebrations of life, it allowed them to grieve as those with hope instead of those without hope. To grieve and also acknowledge that this person was standing before the Lord, praising his holy name. I'm telling you, that hope always gives me goosebumps. May it never lose its weightiness for us. Praise the Lord. Friends, we use our hands for so much. Maybe you use them in a lot of the work that you do. We use them to write. We use them to play. Some of our young nieces use them to hold on to things or to reach out and try to grab things all the time. Maybe you have experience with that. We use our hands to communicate. Some of you are big hand people. Rebecca's brother is a big hand gesture guy. He spilled so many drinks onto me through the years. I've worn through many shirts because of his expressive hands. Hands, especially here in this moment, are a reminder. They are a powerful reminder that all that we do and say and are is in the context of a life of worship. I said this a couple of weeks ago. Worship is life. It's the character that our life should look like. Yet I know, and sometimes you might feel this too, sometimes we don't feel like what we have to offer is enough. We don't feel like we're enough. We all have seasons like this. Seasons of loss. Seasons of guilt. Seasons where things are just changing and we're not sure, is what I have to offer the Lord acceptable? Is it good enough? We have seasons where our praise is exhausting or even cumbersome. We have times when the promise of resurrection joy seems so far away and unobtainable. And I want to encourage you, church, in this moment, not to turn away in those hard moments. Not to think that your worship is not good enough. Because what you offer comes from the heart, and even if your heart doesn't feel it, those are the times when I think it's perhaps most important to lift up your arms and praise the Lord. Lift them to acknowledge, I'm not in control. Lift them in submission to his authority over your life. See, in times of joy, it's easy to celebrate, like all those basketball players this week and next week. They don't have to work hard. We don't have to work hard when we're feeling joy. It's in those low moments and those hard times when we need to remember who God is and how desperately we need him in our life. What did David declare when he was desperate for God's help when he was in the desert? Psalm 63. He remembered what God had done before, and he said, I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. Or like that psalm we started with, Psalm 44, that amid profound hardship, God's people continued to trust in him, and it's why they could declare, we will praise your name forever. It's easy to praise God when things are going well. Can we praise him when things are not? In every moment, whether it's joy or sorrow today, know that God sees your heart. And he receives honor when you praise him. He receives glory when you worship him. It brings him great delight. We've talked a lot about the delight of God. Offer what you have and allow God to bless you in that moment. Allow his presence and power to infuse your life with newfound hope. Anyone need a little more hope right now? Let God fill you. As we close, the question to leave with, the question to consider, how is the Holy Spirit prompting you to respond with all of your heart and soul and spirit and mind and body today? We're going to sing a song in a few moments, and it's an opportunity to give God some praise. I want to ask Cheese if he would grab our offering bags before we sing. And if you have a connection card, prayer requests, tithes or offerings, feel free to drop those in. And as those bags are passed, I want to remind us this morning as we march or walk ever closer to Holy Week next week. Remember that when Christ was upon the cross in that very bodily way, he took all our sins upon his body and he paid the price on our behalf. And if your soul is burdened or downcast today, remember what Christ has already done for you. Never forget. Remember what he has done because of his unconditional love for you. He can make you new. He can wash you clean. He can wipe the slate clean. He can release those burdens that you hold so that you are free of all that would shackle you. All it takes is to make that decision to surrender your will to his. When you do so, you do not approach the amazing throne of God empty-handed. Your hands are open, fully able to offer the Lord all of your worship. You are fully able to celebrate all that he has accomplished. You are free to receive all that he graciously and generously offers to give to you. To that, all we can say is praise be to God. May our eyes or our hands help our eyes to see him more today. Amen. Amen. Will you pray with me? God, we praise you. We give you all praise, honor, and glory. I pray for those here this morning that are in a season of joy. May their praise to you rise like a fragrant offering. I pray for those who are in seasons of darkness or turmoil. May they have the courage to lift their hands in praise and to wait expectantly for you to help. God, we thank you for this time together. Will you allow our praise right now? Receive our worship, O Lord. May it be pleasing in your sight. In the strong and powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. The church said, amen. Hear these words. Sometimes I can hardly fathom it. Years ago, ages ago, Christ died for my sin. And perhaps he's died for yours as well. Live with honesty and confession and with such joy in assurance of his forgiveness that no one will doubt that you really believe it. Church, as you prepare to go forth, you do so in God's peace and with his blessing now and forever. Amen and amen. Have a great week. I look forward to seeing you next Sunday, Palm Sunday.